Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. We'll read verses 14 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And let's finish on verse 18 together. Ready? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, this morning, each and every Sunday school classroom was busy and exciting. Lord, this property was a beehive of activity. No, wasn't a ball game. No, not a race. It was just people excited about the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for our church. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts so that we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to preach a sermon that I have entitled, God's Word Changes Lives. Of course, that is the title of our fall attendance campaign. But I hold in my hand a King James Bible. This is the very, not the exact one, but the King James Bible is the one that my daddy has preached for all these many years and from which my daddy has taught me. We call our fall attendance program this year, God's Word Changes Lives. Earlier, we read a passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What took place? God's Word got into somebody, and God said, behold, look what my Word can do. Behold, look at the change that my Word can make. You see, I hold in my hands the only book that God ever wrote. There are a lot of good books out there, but this is the great book, the book of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God promised that he would preserve his word for us into all generations. It says in Psalm 12:7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. He told us that his word was inspired in 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's word is so powerful, I cannot describe it. Can you imagine it? All God had to do was speak and light, L-I-G-H-T, light, became existent. The Bible says in Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's how powerful the Word of God is. This book cannot be stopped. Through history, people have tried to stop the Word of God. Someone said, we'll burn every book, every Bible, and they didn't get it done. Hitler failed at it. You have a Bible, raise it up there for just a second. If you've got one, hold it up right there. Hitler can look from the grave and see he didn't get it done when he decided he was going to destroy all the Bibles. This book cannot be stopped. This is the book of books. God's Word changes things. It just changes things. For instance, God's Word changed a whale. A whale? Uh-huh. A whale obeyed God's word when God gave the order to swallow up the Old Testament prophet Jonah. God's word changed some dogs. You say, dogs? Yes, some dogs. There was a pack of dogs that obeyed God's order to eat wicked Queen Jezebel for harming Elijah, God's man. Hey, God's word changed a fish. You say, a fish? Absolutely. A fish had swallowed a coin and then allowed itself to be caught when Jesus needed to pay some tribute money. God's word changed some birds. A bird? Uh-huh. A dove was controlled by God to leave Noah's ark during the flood to see if dry ground was present yet. God's word changes things. God's word changed some dogs. God's word changed some whales. God's word changed a fish. God's word changed some birds. God's word changed the sea. When the children of Israel were escaping Pharaoh and came to the Red Sea, God parted it so they could go across on dry ground. And it was the word of the power of God that parted that Red Sea. God's word changed the funeral. You say, how so? When Jesus' friend by the name of Lazarus had been dead for days, Jesus shows up at the gravesite of Lazarus and raises him from the dead. God's word changed a funeral. God's word changed a war. When God's word directed Joshua in a special way to have victory at the Battle of Jericho, what happened? God's word got involved. And let me tell you something, folks. Anytime God's word gets involved, something happens. Something happens. I'm excited about our fall attendance campaign. We're giving out nearly 3,000 either New Testaments, Bibles, or Gospels during that four-week program. I've got a hunch you go giving out 3,000 copies of the Word of God. Something's going to happen. I want to see God change some people. I want to see God change people for the better. Hey, the devil's out to change people, and he's doing a pretty good job of changing them for the worse. I'm for changing people for the better. Say, how are we going to do it, preacher? God's word changes lives. God's word changes life. Hey, God's word changed the city. When Jonah finally obeyed God, got himself out of the belly of that whale, he preached a revival in the city of Nineveh, and the whole city got right with God. Can you imagine that? God's word changed the life of a city. God's word changed the makeup of the earth. When Paul and Silas were locked up in the Philippian jail, God spake the word, and an earthquake shook the bars until the jail cell came open. God's word changed some fire. As Elijah opposed 450 false prophets and these prophets of Baal, God used Elijah, and Elijah called fire down from the sky to consume a water-soaked sacrifice and altar. What am I telling you? God's word changes things. God's word changes things. Hey, God's word changed many things throughout the Bible and in Bible stories. Did you know that God's word changed some snakes? Did you know that God's word changed some angels? Did you know that God's words changed a river? Did you know that God's word changed an army? Did you know that God's word changed some bread? Did you know that God's word changed some ravens? Did you know that God's word changed some stars? Did you know that God's word changed some honey? Did you know that God's word changed the wind? Did you know that God's word changed the dust? Did you know that God's word changed some rocks? Did you know that God's word changed some dust and some rocks and some grapes and some locusts and some lions and some frogs and some blood? Did you know that God's word changed a storm one day? Did you realize that God's word changed some quail? Did you know that God's word changed the sun? Did you know that God's word changed the moon? Did you know that one day there were a bunch of bones laying in a valley and they were no skin, no flesh on them. And one day, the Bible says, this great big valley just filled with dead men's bones. God's word began to work. All of a sudden, those bones began to rattle. All of a sudden, those bones began to shake. And God said, bones, I want you to come together. And all of a sudden, the ankle bone found the foot bone, and the foot bone and ankle bone found the leg bone, and the leg bone found all the bones that were necessary. And God's word put some skeletons back together. I'm telling you, God's word changes things. The greatest thing, though, to me, is that God's word changes the lives of men and women. I'm glad for him to change the wind. I'm glad for him to change the dogs. I'm glad for him to change the fish. But I've got good news for you today. God's word changes lives. God's word changes life. You know, I'm glad that God chose that His word take a special interest in the lives of man. What a privilege! We are the apple of God's eye. What a privilege! He wrote a book, and that book would help me and you and others so that our lives might be changed for the better. I was thinking many, many years ago, I went to a home up near Chicago, Illinois. When I went into that home, I met a man. His name was George. His wife's name was Linda. When I got there, come to find out, George was a heroin addict. And I don't mean that they lived in a ghetto. I mean they lived in a very nice home. And they had money. And they had vehicles and nice clothes. And George was a heroin addict. When I went in, we talked to George. George ended up trusting Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now I'll tell you, he and Linda, they came to church and they walked down the aisle at invitation time and they told everybody that they had been born again and they did get saved. And then they got in the baptistry and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. But I have to be honest, it wasn't an overnight miraculous change with George. George had some struggles. George had formed a chemical dependency. And though sometimes God will help someone, and you know, God and a man putting their energy together, their life can be miraculously changed. But George struggled some. He'd struggling giving up the drugs and struggling giving up the party life. I remember one night when George became very, very backslidden and he went out and Linda called me and she was crying and she said, "Brother Owens, George is out and he's getting high again." Well, he had had a good long time where he was clean and what they might call dry from the drugs. And she told me, she said, "I went to the cookie jar where I keep the baby's formula money." She said it was all gone. She said, and I knew then George had taken that money to go get high. I got in my car. I started driving up and down the roads looking for George. And George was about 6'6". Didn't have any hair on top, but I never teased him about it. I never tease 6'6" people. But old George, I was driving up and down the roads late one Saturday afternoon. And I seen this great, big, burly, tall, strong, massive looking man. But he was stumbling up the road and it was George. I pulled over and opened my car door and George didn't want to get in, didn't want to talk to me. I was driving up the road, had the passenger side door open and I'm driving on the driver's side and I said, "George, get in." And he didn't want to talk to me. Why? Well, he knew I was the man of God and he knew also that he was backslidden and had been doing wrong. And finally, I said, "Now, George, you get in here." You know, I threatened him. I said, "You get in or I'm going to put you in." You say, was it a fake? Yeah, it was a fake, but it worked. He got in. I took him home to his wife, but you know, we got him straightened out. And I watched the Word of God work in that man's life. I watched his, yes, he stumbled, but he kept getting back up. And the victory was going to be his. And today, George is an assistant pastor at a church out in Arizona where God took a man that was a drug addict and it was destroying his life and destroying his finances and destroying his family. But the Word of God got down inside him and it did a miraculous thing. God's Word, it changes lives. And I thank God for it. You know, many through history can testify of how God's Word changed their life. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story of a man by the name of the maniac of Gadara. He was in the country of the Gadarenes. The Bible says that he ran naked in the tombs and he was a wild, unconverted, wicked, nasty, dirty man. We're talking about a man that lived in a graveyard. The Bible says that one day Jesus came through. And when Jesus came through, you have to understand who Jesus is. Jesus is and was the walking Word of God. He is the Word of God. He was the Word of God. He always will be the Word of God. Jesus shows up one day and the maniac of Gadara comes in contact with the walking Word of God. And the Bible says in Mark 5:6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. You know what happened? This dirty, nasty, wicked, vile man living in a graveyard, seeing the Word of God, went running toward it, fell down and said, "I want to get born again." God's Word changes lives. I think of the story of Zacchaeus. He lived in Jericho. He was a publican. But the Bible says he was a very short man. Publican meaning that he had some stature. You might say he was in local government, if you would. And this man was unsaved and he was short. Jesus is going to pass through the streets of Jericho. Zacchaeus said, I want to get a good look at what? Jesus. What's Jesus? The Word of God. He said, I'm going to climb up a tree so I can get a gander down there at the Word of God. I want to see Jesus. Zacchaeus climbs up into a tree. And the Bible says in Luke 19:9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Zacchaeus got saved. Hey, the maniac of Gadara, God's Word changed his life. Zacchaeus, God's Word changed his life. There is Saul. This man named Saul, later his name becomes Paul. Saul had watched the stoning of Christians. Saul had consented unto the death of many, many Christians. And one day on the Damascus Road, this man named Saul meets the Word of God. The Bible says in Acts 9:5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And you know what happened that day? Saul got born again, and God changed the life of this man who had killed Christians. And if you don't know for sure who that is, they changed his name from Saul to Paul, and God used him to pen probably 14 books of the New Testament. Let me tell you something. This old book's a powerful book. You say, I have a loved one. I have a friend. I have a workmate. But Brother Owens, they're a hard case. Paul was a hard case. You know what you need to do? Get him to God's Word. Get that person to God. Bring him to church. We'll get God's Word to them. You see, the maniac of Gadara was changed by God's Word. Zacchaeus was changed by God's Word. Saul was changed by God's Word. There's a story in the Bible of the Philippian jailer. He had Paul and Silas locked up. And here he's got two preachers locked up, and the Bible says this jailer, an earthquake came and the bars started rumbling, and God busted Paul and Silas out of that jail. And here's what it says about that jailer. It says in Acts 16:30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what happened? That earthquake came and the bars were shaken and the doors of the prison burst open and Paul and Silas stepped out and the jailer said, oh my goodness, I don't know what is this powerful, but whatever it is, I want it. And he fell down and said, I want to be born again. What happened? God's Word changed his life. You look at the story of Peter. Peter was a fisherman, and one day Jesus comes by in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and said, Peter, follow me. And the Bible says Peter said, I will follow you. And from that point on, the history of Peter is written in the history books, both secularly and in the Bible. A man by the name of Matthew was a tax collector. And one day the Word of God got into the life of that tax collector, and he left his business and followed Jesus Christ. There was a woman at the well. That woman, it was in Samaria. Jesus was sitting by the well. She came in contact with Jesus. She had been married 5 different times. She came in contact with Jesus. The Word of God went to work on her. And in John chapter 4, verse 28 and 29, she said, this guy's the Christ. Let me tell y'all, I met the Christ. What happened? Dirty old, nasty, immoral woman got born again. Why? God's Word changes lives. Peter, a rough fisherman, got saved. He changed his life. What happened? God's Word got in him. Matthew, he was a dirty tax collector, but God's Word changed his life. What happened? The Philippian jailer, God's Word changed his life. I've got good news for you, folks. God's Word changes lives. I think of the lame man that was by the pool of Bethesda. He got saved. His life changed. John chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Sergius Paulus, again a leader. His life got changed. Acts chapter 13, verse number 12. I could take you to story after story after story after story in the Bible. You say, well, what's Christianity really all about? It's all about our lives being changed by the Word of God. That's what it's really all about. It's not all about how big we can build our church building. It's not all about how fancy our chandeliers are. The church is really all about the changing of the lives of God's people and the changing of the lost so that they may become one of God's people. All the way through the history of the Bible, we see the testimonies of the lives that have been changed by the Word of God. We see the testimony of the maniac of Gadara. We see the testimony of Zacchaeus. We see the testimony of Saul or Paul. We see the testimony of the Philippian jailer. We see the testimony of Peter, how God's Word changed his life. We see the testimony of Matthew and the woman at the well and the lame man by the pool and Sergius Paulus. You say, Brother Owens, how does he do that? How does God's Word change lives? Let me tell you. God's Word. Let's see if I can get this thing on here, Brother Brett. How in the world does God's Word change lives? I can tell you a few points on how, but nobody can describe it to you completely. Nobody can. It is beyond the human ability to describe. But I can tell you this. I know God's Word changes lives, and I can tell you some of the ways how that happens. First of all, God's Word can change lives because it's God's Word. See, it's God's Word. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, this book, it's not man's Word. It's God's Word. It's not just someone's Word. It's God's Word. It's not an angel's Word. It's God's Word. It's not a disciple's Word. It's God's Word. It's not a God's Word. It is the God's Word. God's Word. Hey, and if somebody has tampered with you to get you to doubt this book, you better run, and you better run fast. Don't deny. This is God's Word. You say, how in the world does the book change the lives of people? It's not just a book, it's the book. It's not written by a God, it's written by the God. How does God's Word change lives? It's God's Word. With an emphasis under the name God. It can change lives because it is quick. You say quick? Q-U-I-C-K, quick. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word quick means it's alive. That book is a quick book. It's a book that's alive. This is a living book. This book is life. It gives life. It is life. This is a living book. Don't you let anybody convince you God's Word's dead. No way. If God's Word's dead, then Jesus is dead. He is the Word of God. He always has been the Word of God. He always will be the Word of God. And I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. No matter what any man may say, I'm telling you folks, His Word can change lives. How does He do it? His Word changes lives because it's God's Word. His Word changes lives because it's quick. His Word changes lives because it's powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. Powerful. Oh, there's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. An atom bomb is like a firecracker compared to God's Word. It is the greatest power in the universe, the power of the Word of God. God's power is in it and God's power is upon it. You see, it is God's Word. It's a living Word. It is a powerful Word. The Bible tells us that it is an eternal Word. It says in John 6:68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. It always has been, you see. It always will be. The Word of God can change lives because, hey, the Word of God is history's history. The Word of God is history's history. It is the forever book. It was before anything else was. You say, how in the world does God's Word change lives? Well, it's because it's God's Word. It's because it's alive. It's because it's powerful. It's because it's eternal. It's because it's inspired. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. It came out of God's mouth. His breath brought it into existence. Not man's breath, God's breath. This is a God-breathed book. Hey, God's Word can change lives because it's preserved. It says in Psalm 12:7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them, speaking of His words, from this generation forward. Through all the ages, it never loses its quickness. Why? It's preserved. It never loses its power. It never loses its eternal status. It never loses its inspiration. Why? Because God said, I'm going to preserve it for you. My pastor, for nearly 18 years, his name was Jack Hiles. I remember him telling this story. He said, when I went to Bible college, he said I had a professor get up and try to get me to doubt the Bible that my mama had used to rear me. Tried to get me to doubt that it was the Word of God. He said, as a result of it, he said, I decided I would read my Bible all the way through on my knees and make a decision for myself. He said, I'm happy to tell you, when I read the last chapter of the book of Revelation from my mama's Bible, he said, I stood up and he said, this is God's Word. I'm not going to let somebody convince me of otherwise. And let me tell you something I did. when I was in Bible college. I'd heard him tell that story. And I decided I was going to do the same thing. I decided, you know something, I'm not going to let somebody tamper with my belief in the Word of God. I'm going to read it all the way through, every word, when I'm on my knees praying to God and asking God if that's God's Word. And I did. When I got to the last chapter of Revelation, let me tell you something. I found out the very same thing that my old pastor had found out. My mama's Bible, my daddy's Bible is just fine. This is God's Word. This is God's Word. And you need the power of the Word of God to change the lives of men. If we're not careful with all this stuff that goes on about diluting the power of the Word of God, we're going to stop changing the lives of people, because it takes a potent book to change the life of a person. You see, how does it do it? How does God's Word change lives? It's because it's God's Word. It's because it's alive. It's because it's powerful. It's because it's eternal. It's because it is God-breathed. It's because it is preserved. That's how it can do it. No wonder God's Word changes lives. Thirdly, say, well, where, Brother Owens? Where does God's Word change lives? I've got good news for you. Everywhere. Everywhere, anywhere, it'll change a life. Get this. Jonah's life was changed in the cold waters in a whale's belly. God's Word changes lives. Zacchaeus' life was changed up a tree. The psalmist's life was changed in the valley. Matthew's life was changed at work while he sat at a desk collecting taxes. Mary's life was changed in a manger. Saul's life was changed on the Damascus Road. Balaam's life was changed on the back of a donkey. Daniel's life was changed in a lion's den. Sarah's life was changed in a tent. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's lives were changed in the burning fiery furnace. Job's life was changed in an ash heap. The thief on the cross life was changed as he hung to die. Peter's life was changed on a seashore. Lazarus's life was changed in a tomb. Maniac of Gadara's life was changed in a cemetery. Caleb's life was changed on a mountain. Gideon's life was changed in a field near a piece of farm equipment. Jeremiah's life was changed in a dungeon. David's life was changed in a sheep pasture. Samson's life was changed in a coliseum. Moses' life was changed on the backside of a desert. A Syrophoenician woman's life was changed in a crowd. A woman's life was changed by a well. Elisha's life was changed at a riverbank. A jailer's life was changed by prison bars. A lame man's life was changed in a courtyard. A wise man's life was changed at a stable where Jesus was born, because there was no room for them in the inn. Hey, Eve's life was changed in a garden. An adulterous woman's life was changed in a synagogue when Jesus had her spared from being stoned for being an adulteress. Noah's life was changed on an ark. Nehemiah's life was changed in the rubble of a broken down wall. Mephibosheth's life was changed at a king's supper table. I'm telling you, God's Word can change you anywhere you are. It does not matter where you are. The Word of God changes lives. It changes lives. It changes lives, people. I know I don't know what the world's looking for, but I know what they need. If you're looking for something to help your life, we've got a book right here. God's Word changes lives. You say, Brother Owens, I've got family members and their lives are messed up. Their marriages are messed up. Hey, everything about them's messed up. What's the answer? God's Word. God's Word changes lives, my friend. God's Word changes lives. Speaking of Bible and inquisitiveness of the Bible, Ed Davis's wife, Betty, she was worried about her husband playing golf on Sundays, and she searched through the Bible for direction and she couldn't find anything. Finally, she went to Brother Smith, our previous pastor, and said, Brother Smith, is it a sin for Ed to play golf on Sunday? To which Brother Smith replied, well, it's not a sin, but the way Ed plays, it's a crime. Let me tell you something. This old black book changes lives. It changes lives. We can look through the Bible, and God over and over and over again shows us how God's Word changed the lives of the maniac of Gadara and Zacchaeus and Saul and the Philippian jailer and Matthew and Peter and Sergius Paulus. How does He do it? He does it because it's His Word. He does it because it's alive. He does it because it's powerful. He does it because it's eternal. He does it because it's inspired. He does it because it's preserved. Where? Where can God's Word change lives? Anywhere and everywhere. Whether it's up or down, high hot or cold, in or out, indoors, outdoors, doesn't matter where, this Bible changes the lives of people, and you better thank God it'll change your life. And if you've got family and friends and workmate and neighbors that need something, bring them to God. God's Word changes lives. You say, whose life can it change? Anyone. Anyone that'll let it. Anyone. God's Word can change the life of the poor. God's Word can change the life of the rich. God's Word can change the life of the educated. God's Word can change the life of the uneducated. God's Word can change the life of a tax collector. God's Word can change the life of a fisherman. God's Word can change the life of a lost man. God's Word can change the life of a saved man. God's Word can change the life of a married man. God's Word can change the life of a single man. God's Word can change the life of a tent maker. God's Word can change the life of a grandma. God's Word can change the life of a grandpa. God's Word can change the life of a married lady. God's Word can change the life of a single lady. God's Word can change the life of a divorcee. God's Word can change the life of a thief. God's Word can change the life of a doctor. God's Word can change the life of a teenager. God's Word can change the life of a witch. God's Word can change the life of a sodomite. God's Word can change the life of a king. God's Word can change the life of a slave. God's Word can change the life of a sick man. God's Word can change the life of a healthy man. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children. All the little children of the world. God's Word can change the life of the drunkard. God's Word can change the life of the proud. God's Word can change the life of the humble. God's Word can change the life of a jailer. God's Word can change the life of a politician. I think. God's Word can change the life of the drug addict. God's Word can change the life of a lawyer. God's Word can change the life of a carpenter. God's Word can change the life of a housewife. God's Word can change the life of a rebel. God's Word can change the life of a liar. God's Word can change the life of a plumber. God's Word can change the life of a secretary. God's Word can change the life of a nurse. God's Word can change the life of a truck driver. God's Word can change the life of the soldier. You tell me who they are. You tell me where they are. You tell me how bad they're situation, and I'm here to promise you today, we've got the answer. God's Word changes lives. God's Word changes lives. You say, well, Brother Owens, when? Well, I'm glad you asked. When does God's Word change lives? All the time. There is no time limitation. God's Word. The Philippian jailer, his life was changed at midnight. Mary's life was changed early in the morning when she ran to the empty tomb of the resurrected Christ. Elijah's life was changed at noontime as he called for fire from the sky to shut the mouths of the false prophets of his day. Martha's life was changed at supper time. Matthew's life was changed at work time. Ruth's life was changed at harvest time. Enoch's life was changed at his Bible time. Timothy's life was changed at church time. A blind man's life was changed at a difficult time. A bride's life was changed at a wedding time. A soldier's life was changed at wartime. Lazarus's life was changed at funeral time. On Pentecost, 3,000 lives were changed at preaching time. A thief's life was changed at punishment time. A mother's life was changed at delivery time. You just tell me, God's Word changes lives. You search through the Bible every hour of every day, all the way through the thing, whether it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. God's Word changes lives every day. He changes lives at midnight, at 1 in the morning, and 2 in the morning, and 3 in the morning, and 4 in the morning, and 5 in the morning, and 6 in the morning, and 7 in the morning, and 8, and 9, and 10, 11, and 12. You hit noon, God's Word's still on duty. God's Word still changes lives. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then 2, and then 3, and then 4, and then 5, and then 6. We take a break. We eat a great big supper. Belch a little bit. Take a little nap. God's Word starts changing lives again at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. We're back at midnight. It'll change it. Hey, God's Word changes lives in January and February and March and April and May and June and July and August and September and October and November and December. God's Word changes lives, whether it's holiday time, whether it's break time, whether it's vacation time. God's Word changes lives all the time. All the time, everywhere, anybody, doesn't matter how bad you are or how good you are, God's Word changes lives. You say, Brother Owens, is there any time when God's Word does not change lives? Well, I could give you a little insight on it. For instance, when is the Word of God not changing lives? Well, it's not changing your life when you're not here to hear it preached. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. Here the Bible's commanding that when the church is open, you're supposed to be in church so you hear the preaching of the Word of God. You need to be faithful to church. You see, you say, I need my life fixed. Then show up to get it fixed. Because God's Word will change your life. And there's some of you only come to one service a week, then you're only getting one third of the life change that you need. Come back on Sunday night, get another third. Come back on Wednesday night, get another third. Three thirds makes a whole. You might be more of a whole Christian if you get the whole dose of the antibiotic of the Word of God that will change your life. But if you miss church, God can't change your life if you don't show up to get the life-changing sermon. And if you miss, I'd recommend you get the CD and you listen to it so it can change your life. But when does God's Word not change our life? Well, when we don't show up to hear it. I'll tell you this. When we don't bring people to hear it, it can't change their lives. When we don't bring people to hear it, it can't change their lives. Can I tell you all something? We get in our life and everybody wants to counsel folks and everybody wants to help folks. And, you know, we try to touch the lives of the people around us. Can I tell you something that'll touch a life just about as fast as anything? Get the people you're trying to help under the preaching of the Word of God, and that will change a life. Some of the people you can't get saved, get them under the preaching of the Word of God. God will get a hold of them. Revival will break out in the privacy of their heart. We've seen it happen here time and time again. Somebody brings somebody to church and says, boy, they're a hard case. This is one of my family members. This is my mother-in-law. This is my father-in-law. This is somebody that won't get saved. I don't know what to do. They come and plunker down back here in one of these pews, and all of a sudden the choir gets up and sings God's Word. Changes lives. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God begins to sweep across this place. We pull open the Bible. We start preaching the Word of God. We make it all the way through. Get to invitation time. That very person that you thought would never change, would never get saved, they walk by and get born again. Why? God's Word. God's Word changes lives. The Bible says in Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. You want to know why? We got to go out and get people and bring them in so they can hear the preaching of the Word of God. The word compel, it's a repetitive word. Matter of fact, it's a very strong word. It says, you do everything you can within right to get them in under the preaching of the Word of God. You see, when does God's Word not help us? When is it not changing our life? When you and I don't show up to hear it preached. It's not going to change your life when we don't get the people that need it here to hear it preached. Hey, it won't change your life if you won't obey it. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The question is, you were doing okay. What hindered you from doing right? Can I give you the answer? You want to know who hindered you? You. You hindered you. God's word's not going to do you any good if you don't obey it. We're to obey the Bible, not just admire it. We're to obey the Bible, not just carry it. We're to obey the Bible, just not glance at it, everyone. We're to obey the Bible, not just read it. We're to obey the Bible, not just memorize it. We're to obey the Bible, not just admire it. Obey it. Obey the book. Obey the book. Obey the book. Obey the book. Every decision of life ought to come out of the pages of that book. Yes, I should. No, I shouldn't. This is right. This is wrong. You see, when we're not here to hear it, then it's not going to change your lives. When we don't get people in to hear it, it won't change their lives. When we don't obey it, it won't change lives. When we don't read it. See, the Bible says in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. God wanted us daily to get some bread from the old black book. And if you don't eat your daily spiritual food, it won't change your life. Hey, when we don't listen as it's preached. You know, the Bible says in Acts 28, verse 27, that there were some people that were dull of hearing. In other words, they could sit in church but not really hear a thing that's being said. Sit there about half comatose, out of it, more worried about getting to McDonald's after church than the Word of God doing a work in their life. Well, God's Word is probably not changing you, but I'll tell you this, it's not God's fault. It's not the Bible's fault. It's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's your fault. Who did hinder you? You did hinder you. Now, you don't obey the preaching of the Word of God. Our fall program, God's Word. Changes lives. God's Word changes the lives of the poor. God's Word changes the lives of the lost. God's Word changes the lives of children. God's Word changes the lives of our families. I hope you'll get involved. I hope you'll help us as we use the Word of God to change the lives of men. I hope you'll be a part. Let me say this and I'm finished. I need to hurry. You know, you young people, you listen here to Brother Owens. During our fall program, we're going to have three or four people come and give a testimony about how rough their life was and things that they had been into that were of bad testimony and things that you might look at it and say, wow, what a glamorous lifestyle they had before salvation. Let me explain something to you. There is no more glamorous lifestyle than living for Jesus as a child and living for Jesus as a teenager. May I say, if you will let God's Word keep your life clean, He won't have to do a whole bunch of changing later on in your life. You would have started right and lived right all the way through. You know, every once in a while, somebody will come along and give a testimony of how they were into drugs and sex and rock and roll and all the booze and all the partying and all that. And they get born again and we all say, wow, isn't that incredible? Look at the miraculous change. Let me tell you something, young people. I never want you to have a testimony like that. I'd rather you say, you know what? God's Word started changing me when I was 3 and when I was 4 and when I was 5 and I was 6. And I love the Word of God all the way through my teenage years. God was changing me all along, but I never was a drunk. I never was an adulteress. I was never a thief. God changed me all along. Hey, I'd like to limit how much God's Word has to change some lives. That's why we have standards around here. That's why we have convictions and we stand firm and say, don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it! We're going to warn and yell and scream and shout because we love you. And we don't want you to have to be 40 years old and say, I was a drunk and messed up my life. I don't want you to mess up your life. God's Word, it changes lives. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, highest recommendation I can make to you is get saved today. Say how? God's Word. It's as easy as this. In a minute, we're going to have what's called an altar call. When we have it, we'll all stand. The choir will sing. We'll have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. And if you're not saved, you walk down the aisle. You walk up to the front and tell one of the men that will be standing down front, I want to be born again. And we'll take God's Word and show you what it says about being born again. The Bible says you're a sinner. The Bible says there's a penalty for your sin. The Bible says that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And if you will ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, He'll save you and take you to heaven someday when you die. The Word of God will help you to get born again. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Somebody in here, you need to get back to the Word of God. Stop apologizing for it. No need to apologize for that book. That's God's book. We might need to apologize for you. We may need to apologize for your perception of the book, but you don't have to apologize for the book. That's God's book. God's Word changes life. You're here today and you say, Brother Owens, boy, my life is a mess. People here don't know it. You mentioned some sins of people who God had changed their lives and I'm there. My life's a mess. My marriage is a mess. My emotions are a mess. Everything, it's a mess. I've messed up my life. What am I going to do? God's Word. God's Word changes lives. You just show up at church and you let us help you and you let us teach you the book that'll change your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.